Now we're going to go to Israel Madad. Affectionately, we call him Winky. He's a longtime friend, a longtime broadcast partner. Winky, talk to me, if you will, about some of the main news stories in 2012. And let's start it off with one of those leading stories was the situation that took place in the Gaza Strip. Talk to me about it.
Well, Jimmy, and once again, shall we say, Israel has been forced to deal with a tense security situation in which its civilian population again came under attack. And this was the second time after the disengagement process took place. In other words, we've been discussing this issue for years on our program. We're getting old doing it. How do we solve the Palestine or the Arab or whatever you want to call Israel-Jewish conflict that's been going on, I claim, for about 100 years or so? And those who do not think like me claim that you can negotiate, you can surrender territory, you can make approaches to the other side, even what they call difficult and hard choices. Now, one of those was done by the Sharon government back in 2005 when they evacuated and disbanded the Jewish communities in the Gaza Strip, destroying agriculture, homes, and basically lives when 8,000 people had to be expelled. And twice Israel has had to go, I'm not going to say to war, but in a military engagement lasting sometimes for weeks, after hundreds, if not thousands, in a cumulative fashion, have come down in Israel. This is an amazing event of the year that once again it happened, proving a political approach completely wrong, which is still being pushed, including perhaps from the White House and European countries, forced upon Israel to do something similar.
Well, now, does that mean that because that conflict did take place a couple of weeks back when the Israeli Defense Force went in, took out the military leader of Hamas, took out many other of the Hamas leaders, some of their headquarters there in the Gaza Strip, that, does that mean it's over? They have a ceasefire? Is that going to continue on, or are they going to have to readdress this issue?
Well, the short answer is we're going to have to readdress, not only because every once in a while we've had one of, not too many, but we've had some terror incidents, but the most important thing is that the political leader of the Hamas, Khaled Mash'al, came into Gaza, was about 2 weeks ago, and got up and announced that Israel does not exist in Hamas's eyes, except for a few poo-poos, as we say. No one tried to punish Hamas for taking such a stance, so that if you try to deal and negotiate with someone who doesn't want you to exist, then obviously those who consider negotiations between Hamas and Israel, and I just saw some articles about it recently once again, such as Tom Friedman, if I'm not mistaken, this morning in the New York Times, is completely idiotic, is the only term I can think about it, because they're flying in the face of reality. We, even with friends, that is the opinion, and therefore Israel is always, if I can use the phrase, being hung out to dry. When we manage to fight back and begin to win, we're always cut up short.
Well, and we've been talking basically about the conflict between Hamas in the Gaza Strip and Israel, the body politic, the government of Israel. But in addition to that, all of these world leaders, Hamas in particular as well, are saying the Jews have no right to live in the biblical homeland of the Jewish people, being theirs for so many thousands of years. Amazing to me that the situation, the concern, the conflict about you that are living there in those Jewish communities, the world knows them as Jewish settlements. They say this is the hindrance to peace, but isn't it the truth? They're the hindrance to war and to a continuing killing of Jewish people, because they're there and their presence is assuring there is some safety for the Jewish community.
Absolutely. Israel's security is quite dependent on the area we now have, because with the advancement of military weapons ever since 67, when we had to go in, because of the war that the Arabs, especially Jordan and Egypt, began at that time, there's no way that we could go back.
It seems like everybody's running away from the Jewish people except those who are true Bible believers, and they're more and more standing with, I believe, the Jewish people than they ever have in the past. And I do believe that's an obligation on all of our parts, that really love the Lord and look at His Word as the authority for the times in which we're living. Well, we're talking about some of the events in 2012, but in addition to that, we always have to look into 2013. And I guess this would bring up our next subject, which you suggested is one of the top stories, the elections upcoming in 2013. They're going to be very, very important to the Jewish body politic, are they not?
Well, they're going to be very important for Israel, but it's also very important to the world, because at least at the present, over the past 2 months, Mr. Netanyahu and his government have been taking a tremendous, shall we call it, the diplomatic beating in the press and in pronouncements of world leaders about his policies in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria. He is holding firm, and not only that, but it seems at the present moment, according to most of the polls, he is very strong in the electoral support. And a lot of the newspapers and observers have been writing how Israel's population is shifting even further rightward, as much as the world berates and criticizes Israel.
Well, and would you say that the body politic in Israel is making a move to the right, because they may well be coming to understand what the Bible says about the Jewish people, the land in which they're living, and the end result of what's going to happen?
Well, Jimmy, let me be fair. Most Israelis are not observantly religious, although a large number are what we sort of call here traditional. And their approach to Jewish nationalism is not that religiously bound. So when they read about the Bible, when they take tours or in their history classes and stuff like that, it doesn't have the same meaning for a truly religious person, although he's very much aware of it and can quote the Bible as well as any preacher or rabbi. But it's not the same. Nevertheless, though, he does not accept the world's rejection of the link between the Bible and the land of Israel and current Jewish national practices. And therefore, he's astounded sometimes that while he might even be for surrender or retreat, withdrawal or moderate, the nations don't view his connection with the land like he does even.
Well, I love that phrase you just inserted into our conversation a moment ago. There's a connection between the Bible, the land, and the people, the Jewish people. And what the Bible says about the Jewish people in that land, indeed, do you not agree, Winky, it will come to pass.
I think that we're looking, as I've always talked on this program, of a process of redemption in which God's will looks to me, even with a scientific bent of mine, to be fulfilling itself with all those who love Israel from all the nations of the world. I'm looking to be talking to you in the coming year and explaining to our radio audience exactly what is here in Israel and its connection to all the world's people through the Bible.
And I could not have said that better myself. Winky Medad, our special friend and a special broadcast partner, helping us to understand some of the geopolitical activities taking place in Israel. I'm sure this conversation was very profitable to those who eavesdrop on it. Winky, thank you so very much, and we indeed will talk again next year.
Jimmy, to all my friends and your listeners, very happy holiday season. Thank you for having me on the program.